comes McDavid charging down the ice. He's got a stick. He's in. Backhand. Score. A beauty.
One year, one and a half year here, get me more confidence. For sure, I'm stronger and faster, and I feel like I'm growing up for person and player a lot. Feels like I'm like ready to get the new step for the NHL.
Now McDavid across the drive, scores 100 points for Leon.
We could learn from what we went through, and everyone's pissed off about it. I think that's the best way to describe it. But there's a taste in everyone's mouth that's very, that no one likes. We need to find a way to not have that taste. And we've had it 4 out of 5 years here. So, you know, we need to be better.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast for this Monday, May 17th. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260. Connect with me on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 50% off your next order. On the pod today, Tommy Cazzola will join us as we'll tee up Oilers and the Winnipeg Jets that gets going on Wednesday. He was down at practice, and we'll get to all that with Tommy Cazzola today's pod. And tomorrow's, we'll just continue to tee up game one. Playoffs are well underway. It's playoff week, and it's been great.
Yeah!
That Florida-Tampa game last night was fantastic. Minnesota wins in overtime. The Islanders win in overtime. And then you had the sad little game between Calgary and Vancouver. But it was a great time for some hockey, some playoff hockey, and the fans, man, like in Florida. Oh, it was absolutely fantastic. Some quick notes before we bring in Tom Cazzola. Nikolaj Ehlers was not taking part in the power play practice. He eventually joined the second unit for the third time through. He was in a yellow non-contact jersey, and Pierre-Luc Dubois was not skating. As for your Edmonton Oilers, McLeod was back at practice. McCahoon with McDavid and Puljujarvi. RNH with Draisaitl and Yamamoto. Shore with Kyra and Archibald. Neil, McLeod, Chiasson. That is your 12 guys going into game one. Defensively, Nurse with Barry, Kulikov with Larson, and Jones with Slate. Sorry, Ethan Bear with Slater. Cuckoo, Jones, Russell took turns with Evan Bouchard. So we'll ask Tom that. Slater Cuckoo looks to be in. I know Dave Tippett met with the media. I was actually recording two guys, so I couldn't hear it, but I'm sure Tom will fill us in on anything. Do we read much into this new development where Slater Cuckoo might draw in for game one? Let me know on Twitter what you think of Slater Cuckoo if indeed he is going to play with Bear in game one. What do you think? I like it. Personally, I think it's a guy that has playoff experience. He played really well against the Oilers last year in the bubble playoffs. He's got a little more experience. He's a little more solid, in my opinion, over Jones. Jones brings better skating and more offensive side, but he's kind of hit and miss. He's been better. I'm not saying he's been terrible. He's improved his game for sure from where he was to start. But I think it's Cuckoo or Russell. If Russell was good to go, I think he would be starting. But I have no issues with Slater Cuckoo. So let me know. Get right to it as I bring in my good friend and colleague, Tom Cazzola, of course, from TSN 1260, the host on the pre- and post-game shows and a co-host on the Oil Stream podcast with Dustin Nielsen. Tommy, let's get right to it. Before we get to the Oilers stuff, what did you make of the games yesterday, man? There was some great action, especially that Florida-Tampa Bay game. Saw OT in the first three games, but playoff hockey's back, and man, do the fans, and we knew this, ever make a difference, eh?
Oh, man, it is awesome to see fans in the building and cheering, and the games are ramped up. We're seeing tremendous hockey. It started with the Bruins Caps game the night before, and then yesterday, like the Islanders Pens series, the back and forth, the chances, the Palmieri's goal in overtime. Like, he had such a small window to put it in. He found it on Tristan Jarry, and then the goaltending duel in the Minnesota Vegas Golden Knights game was unbelievable in its own right. Like, Marc-Andre Fleury looked like he was straight out of the 90s, and he looked so good. But then Cam Talbot outduels him. Good on Cam Talbot for bouncing back. Really nice to see. And that's going to be an interesting series. And then, yeah, you know what, Natso, I'll be perfectly honest with you. The only part of the Panthers Lightning game I saw was the last minute 20. I saw the goal by point because I was doing an oil change on my car, and I'm like, oh no. And I thought I was going to miss OT. but literally I looked in and I see Point going on the breakaway, forehand, backhand, five beans, beautiful goal. And then I didn't watch the Calgary-Vancouver game because it doesn't really matter. So incredible. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about this, but just being at the Oilers practice this morning,
yeah,
it had playoff tempo. It really did. And that's exciting.
Well, Tom, that Florida-Tampa Bay game, like after every whistle scrums, just hits nonstop. We saw Sam Bennett get one game for a very dirty hit, but man, that, and it's funny to say that the one place that was so jacked up for a game was Florida, but it was such a great atmosphere there. I was like, holy smokes, this is awesome. Let's get to the important stuff, Tommy. Edmonton Oilers, you're down at practice today. I guess the big news of the day, Slater Cuckoo in the top six with Ethan Bear. Caleb Jones was on the, I guess, the fourth pairing with Russell and Evan Bouchard. We talked about it on the Two Guys podcast. I don't think anyone had an issue with that. I like Slater Cuckoo. I think he has playoff experience. I think he's just a little more solid than Caleb Jones, who's kind of, he can be a mess at times. He has improved since the beginning of the season. But what do you make of this move by the head coach, Dave Tippett, Tom? Because I'm seeing on the good old social media, and I know it's not a place to go for this kind of stuff. There's a lot of unhappy people by this move. I think it's a hell of a move by Dave Tippett.
Well, first of all, he said in his availability after practice, don't read too much into it just yet.
Okay.
Suggesting and hinting that maybe we could see a change there. Now, this is an indicator as to where the coaching staff thinks Caleb Jones is. And honestly, Hernan, you know, he's had some good stretches this year, but he's had some growing pains this year. And yeah, to say that he's better than Chris Russell, and, you know, with Cuckoo, you know, I kind of see them similar or at a same stature at this point. You know, I think Caleb Jones has a potential higher end ceiling than Cuckoo, absolutely. But this is an indicator what the coaching staff thinks of him. And quite honestly, if Chris Russell is deemed healthy and good to go by Wednesday, I think that's who is slotting in as the left shot, left side defenseman with Ethan Bear. So as is the tradition and the case among many, many NHL teams and coaches and all of that, the veteran most of the time gets the first crack at it over the young up-and-coming player, unless that young up-and-coming player is so good that they outright win the job. And that is not the case with Caleb Jones. And I think we've seen that again, growing pains, peaks and valleys this year. He's had a bunch of them. So, I mean, I'm not that surprised. And, you know, some Oilers fans probably don't like it. That's fine. They're never satisfied. But let's not kid ourselves here. Veterans always get the precedent, and that's the case here.
What did you make of Cuckoo's game in Vancouver? Because I thought he was good. I don't think he looked sluggish. I don't think he looked out of place. Just don't think he was feeling the effects of playing his first game in a lot of months here. Tommy, what did you? I know it was a nothing game, and it's hard to really assess a player. But were you okay with what Slater Cuckoo did on Saturday?
Sure, and I mean you take it with a grain of salt because of what the lack of implications were for that game. And, you know, I think you could say that the Oilers, maybe even the Canucks, only went at it at about 80% throttle, if that, for some of the game, maybe even less. He was okay. And he's been in the league. He's been around the league. He's been on good teams. He knows how to handle situations. You heard him on the post-game show saying that he was treating it as more than just the last game of the season, trying to step up his level of play. So that factors into, and that's good. That's a good way to approach a game when you haven't played in a couple of months. He hadn't played since February 20th against Calgary when he broke his collarbone or his clavicle. And that's a good, solid approach, right mindset. You said it to me off the air when we were listening to Cuckoo speak on the post-game show. He's really well-spoken. He's articulate. He's smart, intelligent, intellectual. And to approach it that way falls into all of that. So, yeah, his game was fine, Hernan. Keep in mind, like we are, what the implications of that game were. And, you know, if you want to look at history, well, when they went into the bubble and he was a Chicago Blackhawk, it's not like he had played a ton of hockey before that either. He had just practiced like he was with the Oilers prior to returning the other night. And maybe he's more fit to slide in if need be.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help even more. With Credit Karma Money Spend Account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. Tommy G joining me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Tommy, we kind of knew the 12 forwards that would be. We know it's going to be Cahoon with McDavid and Judge Pliarvi. We know all the lineup heading into this one. We've talked a lot about Cassian and when he's going to be ready. Matchups for the Edmonton Oilers. Like, we're looking at Winnipeg right now. Ehlers was once again in a non-contact jersey. He didn't take any part in the power play practice today. And Dubois wasn't even on the ice. Is this shaping up pretty nice for the Oilers if Ehlers, and then you throw Dubois in there, can't go for game one?
Yes, if that is indeed the case, unless there's a little bit of gamesmanship happening from Paul Maurice, which is entirely possible. These are two wily coaches that have been at the top of the game for a long time, and there might be some of that, but there's probably some legitimacy to their bumps and bruises in Ehlers and in Pierre-Luc Dubois. Sure, it is shaping up good for the Oilers. Sure, they are the favorite. Yes, they've won six in a row against Winnipeg. Things are lining up good, but it is the playoffs. They're a different animal. And, you know, if Dubois is even that banged up where it affects his game, that helps Edmonton. But they have to take advantage. And we've seen them countless times this season not take advantage of scenarios where the opposition was without its top player or one of its top players. So Ehlers, if he's not good to go, yes, indeed, that is a good scenario for the Oilers as well. But again, they got to take advantage. It's up to them to dictate the play, go pedal to the metal, not create any opportunities via mistakes for the Winnipeg Jets, because the Jets will capitalize, and momentum in the playoffs can change in a hurry. You hope that the Oilers, whoever's left from 2017, remembers that run and what they did well, how they built momentum, little things like that. And then you hope that everyone that's left from last year's team remembers how poorly they performed in the bubble and how not to go about doing things. So hopefully all of that wisdom and experience is implemented into this series going forward. And it is, bottom line, setting up nice for Edmonton, but it's a matter of them taking advantage, dictating the pace, and doing things that good teams do. That's the big test here.
Tommy, like, these teams know each other inside out. There's going to be no surprises. I mean, both coaches are watching the games they played this year. What went wrong in Winnipeg? What did Edmonton do well? So there's going to be no surprises in this game. But is when you look at the Jets, is their downfall going to be maybe their decor in this series? Because, McDavid and Draisaitl had their number, especially in the last six games. They don't have that true stud. Is that where you're kind of looking, where Edmonton can kind of really expose this team?
Well, yeah. And Hernan, here's the other thing, too, is, like, you're right. No true number one. Neil Pionk's pretty good. They've got good defensemen. Like, overall, that defense is better than people make it out. But here's the other thing. They're not overly aggressive or physical, and they're not that big.
Yeah.
And that's something the Oilers can expose and take advantage of. Ground and pound them, down low, cycle, get to the front of the net for those second shots after Hellebuck makes the first save, because he quite likely 9.7% of the time makes the first save, right? Mm-hmm. Or 97.7%, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's where the Oilers can take advantage. And then the other thing too is, if Winnipeg wants to continue to play an open game against Edmonton, the Oilers can just freewheel. Now, the surprise we could see is if Winnipeg goes into total shutdown mode. That would be the surprise. Like, I don't know if they're going to do it. Maybe they implement some form of the trap, left wing lock, clog up the middle. I feel like they probably will try to. To what degree, if they do, do they effectively do it? And then if it doesn't work, how quickly do they get away from it? I'd be surprised if they just open things up and try to beat Edmonton 7-6. That to me would be a total shock. So it's interesting. Those little elements there. So, you know, you're going to get the first save 9 times out of 10 from Connor Hellebuck, closer to 10 times out of 10. Can you get to those rebounds? Can you beat the smaller defenseman of the Winnipeg Jets to those rebounds? Can you punish them physically down low and wear them down quickly? And then on top of that, can you take advantage of bumps and bruises that the Jets are feeling right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Like in the playoffs, you can have all the skill, but you gotta go to those tough areas and grind it out, man. And it's gonna take everyone. And it's interesting because I know in the last couple of games, Tommy, between the Oilers and Jets, the Winnipeg media was like, when are the Jets gonna learn to stop dumping the puck in? Because Mike Smith, he's another defenseman back there when he has time to move the puck, right? When you look at Mike Smith and listen, Hellebuck, a lot of people I'm seeing pick Winnipeg in this series. Hellebuck has the reputation. I mean, he's coming off the Vezina. He's a hell of a goaltender, one of the top. But this season, Mike Smith's been one of the best goaltenders. How do you see this goaltending matchup shape up? Because I think for both teams, I mean, you're only going to go as far as these two guys. And what's your confidence in Mike Smith going into the playoffs?
Pretty high. I mean, I honestly look at this right now at the beginning of the playoff series. I look at the goaltending as equal. I think Mike Smith has had as good of a season, if not better, than Connor Hellebuck. You look at their numbers, they're neck and neck. I mean, Hellebuck had a worse goals against average. Smith had a better save percentage. I know Hellebuck played more games. He played 13 more games than Smith. But I look at this goaltending matchup right now, going into game one, as very even. Yeah. I have no qualms in looking at that matchup and going, there's no clear advantage right now. Yes, Connor Hellebuck is the reigning Vezina Trophy winner, but Mike Smith has dialed it in. He is a battler. He's a fighter. He'll do everything he can to make a save. He has shown that nothing's going to get him down. And if he maintains that attitude into the postseason, he's 2 years removed from a hell of a playoff series against the Colorado Avalanche for the Calgary Flames. He was the only player really playing in that series to an acceptable level. You know, he basically did everything for the Flames in that series, but score goals. And so it's not like he's that far removed from an outstanding playoff performance. He played one game in the bubble last year when the team was absolutely atrocious. He wasn't great. Mikko Koskinen stepped in, didn't do much better, got the win in game two. That's about it. This goaltending matchup, when you look at the starters, I think is pretty even.
And that's the thing. Everybody's like, well, it's Mike Smith. Yeah, but this is Mike Smith this year. He didn't go on a heater. He's been good throughout, right? Tommy, there's a big difference.
But Mike Smith
didn't just go on an 8-game heater, right?
Yeah, he's been an all-star. He's an Olympic gold medalist, albeit as a third stringer. I mean, this is a goalie that's basically done everything but win a Stanley Cup, Hernan. Mm-hmm. You know, like...
No, I know.
He's old. He's very old in hockey terms. Absolutely. But his game is about as effective as anyone's right now. So, I mean, like we just saw Cam Talbot outduel Marc-Andre Fleury the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you know, no. Like, come on. No, I'm not giving a distinct advantage to Connor Hellebuck in the goaltending department going into this series.
Tommy, let's get to this. Every year, you know, we had the Fernando Pisani run. No one saw that in 06. The 17, I mean, Leon was fantastic, as was McDavid. Eberle and Nuge didn't really produce with Lucic on that second line.
Mark Letestu was amazing.
Maroon was good. Yeah. I remember Larson scored a couple in, I can't remember if it was the first or the second series, but anyways, it was the second one when they went up 2-0 against the Ducks and we thought we were rolling through. If there's one player on this team, Tom, that's going to be that guy, that Letestu, that Fernando Pisani, who you look looking at for the Edmonton Oilers?
Right. Like a upstart, surprising hero. I'm looking at Kailo Yamamoto. I mean,
okay,
doing all the things right. It's just not going in. And maybe the end of the season was a good thing. He can start fresh, start clean. He gets an ugly goal, greasy one in front of the net, and that kicks things off for him. I mean, if he continues to play the right way, plays inside the opponent's equipment, strong stick, strong, tenacious defensively, strong, tenacious in the corners, get to the front, battle. I think he could be that guy. And here's my dark horse, and this one might fizzle away real quick. This guy might not even be in the lineup by game three, Dominic Cahoon.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. No, that's a good one. I mean, the opportunity is fantastic for that player. I like the Yamo one. Like you said, he's been playing well, but he snake bit right now. And I picked Josh Archibald.
Nice.
Something about those bottom six guys that are always active. And he's got a little bit of skill. I mean, he can finish. So I'm looking towards him, Tommy. So yeah, it's always fun to kind of see what kind of player is going to show up for the Oilers. Because you know the big two is going to do their thing. But you always need that secondary scoring for the Edmonton Oilers. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. 18 amazing flavors, including including six new ones like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and my personal favorite, carrot cake. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code locked on and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code locked on for 20% off at builtbar.com. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their playoff runs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Tommy, when you're looking at these series, how do you see shaping up? Who's winning it and how many games?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a much tighter series. Obviously, the postseason, the high-end talent on both sides of the puck. Tremendous goaltending. You know, you could look at both teams and go, well, that defense isn't particularly great. Edmonton's, I think, has the advantage, certainly. I see Edmonton coming out with a win in six games.
Okay. In six games. It's even, right? Like, I think without Ehlers, and let's just speculate Dubois, I think the forward group is pretty even for both teams.
Yeah.
I'd probably give the slight edge maybe to Edmonton because of Connor McDavid. Defensively, I give the edge to Edmonton. I know Pionk and Morris here are good, but I think Nurse and Barry have just been better. And yeah, I think their depth is a little bit better. And then goaltending, I mean, this season, Mike Smith's been better, but it's pretty close in that aspect too. So this is a very close series. Like, there's not one part of the game where one team kind of is way better than the other team, right? Yeah.
And you know what's funny is it's kind of nice too. I remember going into the qualifying round and we're like, Edmonton's just going to stomp all over Chicago.
I called the sweep, Tommy.
Yeah. I think I had Edmonton in four. And this year, I think every one of us is a little bit leery going, well, you know, Winnipeg is really good. and we keep that in mind. We all got burned last year by the Oilers. And I think a lot of people have that on their minds as they approach this series too, which is funny, sad, and fitting all at the same time.
But let's keep it positive, right? Positive energy for the team here. Sure. And when you have the best player in the world, man, I mean, I don't know why anyone should be nervous. But Tommy, before I let you go, 15 years ago tonight, this happened.
Horkov taps it down. Smith is there. Ekman is back. Harvey comes in and gets the hit. To the front of the net. Horkov scores!
15 years ago on this day, the Oilers completed their comeback from being 2-0 down in the series to defeat the San Jose Sharks in six games. Tommy, what a time to be alive. I think when they won that series, Tom, was the first time I said, okay, this is something special is going on here. Like, and it all started with the Torres laying out
McCulloch.
Yeah. Just your thought, your memories on that.
20-year-old Tom Gazzola was in awe of what was happening. Couldn't believe it. And what a time in the city. It was just incredible. Oh. And I think that Hernan might have been one of the last times I went down to White Ave, because after that series, I was like, boy, this is becoming a bit too much. And it sure was. I mean, it even got dangerous. So we stayed away from White after that one. At least I did. I went other places to party and watch the games, but that was incredible. It's 15 years, man. It's been a long 15 years. That's for sure.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, when it started on White Ave, it was real fans. And then by the second round, it was just people looking for trouble, right? Like, yeah, it wasn't exactly fun anymore. So I went there once, Tom. And then you know what we did for every game after that? Just at a buddy's house, barbecue, drinks, yep, TV in the deck. Like, I thought that was way better than going to White Ave and having to dealing with a bunch of troublemakers and all that.
You know what's funny is I was playing junior B with my buddies here in town, and we booked a trip to Cancun or Mexico. Yeah, Cancun. And it was right in between the third and fourth rounds. So the Oilers actually clinched against Anaheim the night we flew into Cancun. And I remember, like, we went out and had a hell of a night the first night there. And then we were pulled up to the bar after breakfast, and we're having some cervezas and we're watching ESPN Deportes, and they're showing highlights from the night before. And the bartender looks at us. He's like, hey guys, isn't that your city? And we looked up and they were showing White Ave. We're like, oh my God. He's like, that's crazy, man. And I'm like, oh, it was, I don't know if I was excited or embarrassed, because it was like, look at the party. Amazing. what a time. They're going to the Stanley Cup final. At the same time, like the stupidity of what happened at,
yeah,
kind of looked at, and you're like, ah, boy, that's a bit overkill. But, you know, it is what it is. You only get to celebrate those from time to time. As long as nobody gets hurt and no damage is done, then that's okay.
Well, that's not going to happen this year now, Tom.
No.
Not a lockdown.
No, yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Tommy, well, I'll say this, man. I'm jacked up. The Edmonton Oilers, back-to-back years. I know last year we waited 4 months after we got shut down. We worked together for 6 days. The Oilers, yeah. I'm so excited and jacked up for this. I think the fans, the media, everybody in the city deserves a run. And I'm just so happy they're back in it after last year as well. And man, Wednesday we start rolling with the playoffs, Tommy, and I can't wait, man. It's going to be great.
Buckle up, man. So it's going to be a ton of fun, and we're going to be bringing the heat on the post-game show.
Oh, yeah. Tommy, like always, I'll probably see you tomorrow down at practice, and then Wednesday we get going for real at 7 o'clock. Tommy, like always, thank you for taking the time to join me, and I'll see you soon, my friend.
Sounds good. Vamanos.
Oh, Tommy always brings the good stuff. Can't wait to get going on the post-game show on Wednesday. I know the fans are going to be jacked up either way, but hopefully they can also go on a run. Now it's going to be great. Keep it positive, everybody out there. And yeah, I mean, I know we're still waiting for game day, and but when Wednesday comes, man, that's going to be great. Just quickly, some news from around the NHL. A civil lawsuit has been filed alleging that Vancouver Canucks forward Jake Virtanen sexually assaulted a young woman. A statement of claim filed in Kelowna last week alleges Virtanen took the woman to a hotel in West Vancouver in 2017 and assaulted her, as the woman repeatedly said no and pleaded with him to stop. Oh, this is an ugly story for Jake Virtanen, and yeah, we'll continue to track this one. Sam Bennett with a dirty, I don't know what he was thinking. He just leaned into, was it Blake Coleman last night? Check from behind. He gets a one-game suspension, so he'll miss game two between the Panthers and Tampa Bay Lightning. But guys, that's going to wrap up this edition. Tommy Gazzola joined us. We talked a lot. Oilers, Winnipeg Jets, went back in time for this day in Oilers history. The Oilers defeated the San Jose Shark in the second round, and that's when you knew something special was coming. That's when you knew something special was coming. And I'll never forget that Torres hit, or that Samsonov goal out of the penalty box, or the Hemsky's goal in the first round against Detroit to get them out of there. And oh, what a series. Chris Pronger, Dwayne Rollison, all the boys were just fantastic. Unfortunately, we all know what happens. But it's all good. It's they had quite the run, and we're hoping the Oilers can go on one this year. Two more days, guys. Wednesday. We're almost there, guys. I know everybody's getting excited and antsy and all that, but the Oilers Winnipeg game one Wednesday at 7 o'clock. I can't wait, man. It's gonna be great. Don't forget to hit me up on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. Download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. For my man Juanito and the Locked On Oilers podcast, I am Hernan talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll chat tomorrow.